You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk, the radio show of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. I am your host for just a little bit, Devin Jones, as we wait for Margie to get here. She's on her way. And I'm here with Victor Vallejo, the program coordinator for the Respect Life Office and also Latino Outreach. Good morning. Yes, yes, it could be a little bit warmer.
It is. Just bring your glasses with you.
Now, you know, as later in the show, we have Zach Whitman, who's going to be a call-in from the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and he's going to talk about what the bishops are doing as far as pro-life activity in the state of Illinois and Susan Jordan. But before we jump into that, one of the things that we're going to talk about is how Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry adversely affects minorities, African Americans and Hispanic Americans, which I feel like is something that we talk about a lot, and it doesn't seem like the message is getting out as quickly or as effectively as it could. Is that your take on that?
That is true, yeah.
Recently, the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial in Washington, D.C. was open to the public. I don't believe it's been dedicated yet because they had some hurricanes on the East Coast. It was supposed to be dedicated, I believe, on August 28th, which would have been the 48th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech that Martin Luther King gave on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1963, but because of the hurricane that they had, it was postponed. This memorial covers 4 acres. It opened to the public on August 22nd, and it's taken over 2 decades of planning, fundraising, and constructing. And the main part of this memorial is the Hope Stone, which is the stone that Martin Luther King Jr. is kind of rising out of. And there's these quotes all around it, different quotes that Martin Luther King Jr. gave. And actually, in the mission statement for this monument, it says, Dr. King championed a movement that draws fully from a deep well of America's potential for freedom, opportunity, and justice. His vision of America is captured in his message of hope and possibility for a future anchored in dignity, sensitivity, and mutual respect. The first thing is dignity, and I don't think that we are really paying attention to his message because we don't really respect the dignity of human life, especially when it comes to African Americans and black babies. I think that half of all pregnancies for African Americans end in abortion. It might be a little bit over that now, and a third of Hispanic women's pregnancies end in abortion. What are some of the things that your office is doing, Victor, to kind of reach out to Hispanic Americans? I know this is kind of a new position. You're just coming into this position as far as Latino outreach.
Yes, we had met with Father. Father Mercado, and he's going to introduce us in the community, so he's going to help us to reach out to Latino. Right. So that's the beginning. So I start meeting new priests,
okay,
and getting new coordinators. That will be our main goal.
Now, that's the director of Hispanic ministry, the Hispanic
that's
ministry's
right.
office?
He is, yes.
Now, you came from how you got this position partly was because you were already out praying in front of an abortion clinic that mostly did abortions on Hispanic women, right?
That's right. That's the reason I was hired. Mm-hmm. I know Father Lenuski, who has been working for years. He prays outside, you know, humbly. He's not in an angry way. So mm-hmm. we try to pray to bring Jesus so they can experience that there is hope. Mm-hmm. And we pray the, you know, the entire winter, mm-hmm. the whole year around. It's not easy because, right. you know, living in Chicago is so cold.
Right.
And summer is so hot, but there is a lot of people committed to pray in front of the abortion, so things can change.
Now, I believe the rates for Latino women who are getting having abortions or seeking out abortions is rising. Is that correct?
It is rising, and the really sad thing is that you see, you know, the mom, fathers, brothers bringing these mm-hmm. these girls, you know, to the abortion clinic to kill the babies.
Why is that though? I mean, you know, overwhelmingly they're Catholic, Hispanics, like African Americans. Really kind of respect the family and you know, having children is usually considered a blessing. How is it that the number of people who are choosing to really kill their children is on the rise?
That's a good question. I wish I had the answer, but maybe one of the things is economical thing, you know. Mm-hmm. This culture of death is saying the baby is money that you're going to spend. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a culture they're advancing and getting to the women. Mm-hmm. But there is, you know, there is hope, there is help. There right. is a lot of a place that helps, you know, to get Vipers and all the right. food, the milk. So maybe they don't know that there are resources out there.
Right.
And it's one of the main things that the culture of death is advancing.
Right. Is it mostly younger women, meaning teenagers, or which age group, I guess, is mostly getting these abortions?
You will see teenagers, moms, 30 in the 20s, 30s. Yeah. You see all ages.
All ages. I just think it's very interesting that, especially in the African American community, as we dedicate this memorial, remembering Martin Luther King, who was actually pro-life, who made statements about abortion, who the civil rights movement really kind of was the founding movement, the founding of the pro-life movement. Even before there was a pro-life movement, the civil rights movement was the pro-life movement, even against contraception. And as we dedicate this memorial, there's an increasing attack on the very people who struggled to be full citizens, you know. In the Constitution, African Americans, blacks, were considered three-fifths of the of a black person was three-fifths of a person, not a whole person. You know, that's how they counted the slaves. And we fought all these years to be equal, to be first-class citizens, not second-class citizens. And in a sense, we've gone backwards. You know, as we've gained more rights, as we've become more a part of the culture, we've also taken on that culture of death. And it really is sad, you know, and now that Hispanics who are coming over here to seek a better life, and we're putting that same culture onto them, that same culture of death we're kind of perpetrating against them. You mentioned that there's hope. How do you see it getting better?
Yes. We got counselors that mm-hmm. oppose abortion, mm-hmm. so we refer the women, we give them flyers, so if there is hope, there is somebody to talk mm-hmm. to if they have done it. So and there is the priest, you know, confession where they can reconcile with right. God, with the baby. So there is always hope, and priest is always present. Mm-hmm. So God is gentle, and he will be there.
Right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Life Talk on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Life Talk, the radio show of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Margie is here to take over her show. I know there's a lot of traffic out there, but before I hand it back over to you, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it actually, we just got back from a little, you know, it was a long weekend for the Labor Day holiday, and my husband likes to turn the water heater down while we're gone to save money because that's just the kind of guy he is.
That makes sense.
And then, but he forgot to turn it back up, so when I went to go hop in the shower, it was, oh my goodness. So it was like living in the dark ages almost, you know, having to heat up water and all that. So that's as far as I will go with those details. But it's good. I'm glad that you were here to help fill in with Victor.
Thank you.
And it's good. It's comforting to have a pro here, you know, to kind of lean on. I mean, you do this more often than I do.
Yeah.
So you're more skilled at this. But thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now, last month on Life Talk, we were joined by Richard Dorflinger of the U.S. Bishops Pro-Life Secretariat to talk about the attack on the Catholic Church's rights of conscience in these new regulations coming out of the Obama administration through his health care bill. The federal government recently issued an interim rule mandating health care plans to cover sterilization and prescription contraceptives, including the abortifacient drug Ella. But basically, it's all very underreported, this provision that is supposed to give us an exemption, a religious exemption, but it doesn't seem to apply. I mean, it's really a sticky situation here for us. So we're joined on the phone by Zach Wickman, Director of Government Relations for the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and he's going to be with us here briefly to discuss what this rule means for the church in Illinois and what is being done to fight it, what we can do. So, Zach, thanks for joining us on Life Talk.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Now, can you just give us a brief update on the situation, how this is affecting the Catholic Church in the U.S., or how it will affect the church? Because you probably are more plugged into, on a national level with the other Catholic Conference directors, you know, looking at this. How does this affect the church?
Sure. Well, you described the mandate very well. I mean, as you say, it's a mandate on all private health insurance plans to cover FDA-approved prescription contraceptives, including abortifacient drugs like Ella, surgical sterilizations, and then education and counseling for those two services. Now, you know right away we're on the wrong foot when the federal government has deemed, or seemed to have deemed, pregnancy as a disease or something like a disease that should be prevented. Mm-hmm. These are preventative services that are supposed to be covered. So that's a problem. And then making the problem even more acute is, as you said, the definition of religious employer that would be exempted from the mandate. There is no exemption for individuals, for health insurance plans, or for health care providers. There is only an exemption for religious employers, and that exemption is so narrow that it would not include most of what the Catholic Church does in its public ministry. That's to include Catholic hospitals, Catholic schools, social service agencies. Because those entities serve people who are not Catholic, because they employ people who are not Catholic, they are not offered the exemption from the mandate. And so what you have is the federal government telling, for instance, a Catholic school, because you have kids in your school who aren't Catholic, because you employ teachers who are not Catholic, your health insurance plan must offer contraceptives and or sterilization, which is, of course, contrary to Catholic teaching. So that's a real problem.
Wow, yeah.
And we're following the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops' lead in opposing the mandate. We have until September 30th to submit public comments to the Department of Health and Human Services. USCCB just submitted their comments last week, and we hope to follow here in the next couple of days.
Okay, and you wrote a statement on this, and you're hoping to get that published, is that right, in different
sure.
newspapers and get maybe some radio interviews?
Right.
Not just us, but, you know, secular radio.
No, that's right. I did write a letter to the editor type or guest column type thing that we sent to every paper in the state, or most of the papers in the state, and we've got a number of papers who've indicated they're going to publish that, and then we're doing as much as we can. We've just hired a director of communications mm-hmm. at the Catholic Conference, so we're using her to try to push out our messages as far as we can.
So now what are the bishops are putting together their comments,
sure.
right? And it's a unified one for Illinois?
Yes, the Illinois bishops will submit their own letter on the mandate, and as I said, the draft is done. They're reviewing it now. We hope that'll be done in the next couple of days. And once that is done, we will post that on our website, get that out to the Catholic newspapers and other things.
Now, and also, what can our average listener do in this case?
Yeah, there is an opportunity for individuals to submit comments on the rule. Now, what we're going to do, and it's going to be up on our website by the end of the day, is talking points for that for individuals to look over and then write their own letter and submit it. And there will also be instructions on the website for how to submit those comments. I have those in front of me. Unfortunately, it's so complex, the email addresses and other things, that it's not really, it doesn't really lend itself to reading over the radio. But if you go to the Catholic Conference website this afternoon, which is www.catholicconferenceofillinois.org, the instructions will be on there.
Wow. Well, that's very helpful. You know, going to your statement that you put together and put out for the media, one of your paragraphs, you say, astonishingly, Jesus Christ and the early church could not qualify for the exemption. His ministry was not confined to members of the church, nor did it consist only of preaching. Because, you know, you had listed, you know, certain things that would be exempting a religious
right.
organization.
Right.
So it would be maybe like a rectory, right? You know.
Yeah, you really come down to maybe just a parish would be the only thing left that would meet the requirements, because what the requirements say is that your primary mission is proselytization, you employ only members of your religion, and you serve only members of your religion. Well, that's not what, that
yeah.
certainly wasn't Jesus Christ's message, and isn't the church's work either. So
it isn't, and yeah. so it really ties our hands, and I wonder, gosh, you know, well, I don't wonder. I know what's going on, and you know we've got to protect our rights. And elections have consequences.
Sure.
So I mean that's why we always have to be educated and informed, right? And through faithful citizenship to learn what we should be looking at in terms of certain candidates. So I mean we've got a long way to go in terms of another election.
Well, absolutely. But you're absolutely right that elections have consequences. And I'm not to be partisan in any way here, but if you'll remember, at the end of the Bush administration, there were rules issued on this very subject that granted very broad and very important conscience rights to religious organizations and religious health care providers and things of that nature. Those were rescinded shortly after by this administration, and now it's followed up with this. So, you know, yeah, politics matters.
Yeah, yeah. And we can't be partisan, but we can at least tell people, you know, what the issues are, and we can educate Catholics on how to vote, you know, what to look for.
Correct, yes.
In a candidate. So, right. Well, since we don't have a home in either party, we just have to do our best and pray for a good turnout and for, you know, a good result to the different elections and all the levels of government. So thanks, Zach, for joining us.
No problem.
And keep up the fight. All right, well, we're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk to Susan Jordan, who is doing this end-of-life presentation or event at her parish in Oak Park. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks will be observed in Chicago with an evening of remembrance and prayer. Please join Chicago faith communities at Daly Plaza in Chicago on Saturday, September 10th, from 8:30 to 9:30 in the evening. We will remember those who were lost and pray that we can advance peace as we move forward. That's Saturday, September 10th at 8:30 p.m. as we bring our faith communities together for an evening of remembrance and hope.
On Monday, September 12th, Catholic Charities will host its 11th annual Brighter Futures Golf Outing at Bolingbrook Golf Club. All proceeds will benefit Catholic Charities' New Hope Housing Program in Western Cook County. For more information and to register, please call 312-655-7907. That's 312-655-7907 or visit www.catholiccharities.net/brighterfutures.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko, Brain Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm joined on the phone by one of our Respect Life coordinators at St. Edmund's in Oak Park, Susan Jordan. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Margie. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. I just thought, gosh, this would be a great opportunity for you to share a little bit about your event. And it was, I was coming back from a short trip to North Carolina where it was in the 90s and like 100% humidity. And then I come back and it's beautiful here. Oh, my gosh. It was like a 30 degree shift almost. But I was thinking about, you know, what can we do? And I got your email and I said, this is appropriate. You know, this would be something that we should talk about, at least promote. Now you're having an event at your parish and it's going to be on end of life. Is that correct?
That's correct. We've invited Bill Beckman, who, as you know, is the executive director of the Illinois Right to Life Committee, to present actually a workshop on end-of-life issues, and he's going to also talk about the importance of having the right document, the right healthcare proxy, which he will make available to our attendees. It's called the Patient Self-Protection Document, mm-hmm. and it's a really important document because it is completely consistent with the Church's teaching on end-of-life issues. And so that's what distinguishes it from other healthcare proxies that may be out there available for people.
Now, was there a reason why, you know, you decided to schedule this event?
Well, our pastor, Father John McGivern, had been urging us to do a program like this on end-of-life issues. I've been the Respect Life Coordinator at St. Edmund Parish for about 4 years, and we've done a number of programs on abortion and other life issues, but our pastor was particularly interested in having something on end-of-life issues because we have an aging population, as do other parishes. So he felt that this was really important, and I had heard Bill give a talk at the Speak Out Illinois gathering in January, and that was, of course, very well received, and I thought, okay, this is the guy to do this workshop because he's so well-informed, as you know.
Wonderful. Yeah, I mean, it really is, you know, the whole end-of-life issue, and not even end-of-life, but if you were to get into an accident and then have to be, say your lung is punctured and you need to be put on a ventilator, you know, say you sign a living will or something that says, I don't want a ventilator, you know, I don't want to be put on a ventilator, they won't put you on it. And you will just basically, I mean, you won't be able to breathe. Because what happens is you need to have the ventilator, you need that until your lungs kind of fill back up, you know, and heal. But you could be perfectly fine overall. It's just those lungs need those, you know, that extra care with the ventilator. And so if you sign documents that, you know, say it's like a laundry list of things I don't want, there might be a time you do want it, you know, and so it's better to have that proxy that you're talking about and to have and learn how to pick the right person, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there are people who, you know, families who are split on this issue, and you can see it in the Terry Schiavo case. I mean, just looking back on that and how the families were split. And it's really an interesting thing because, you know, there are people in, actually, the USCCB parish kit, I believe it had one on, there was a flyer in there, all the different flyers or brochures on the end of life, and the story about a former PVS patient, which would mean persistent vegetative state, in, I want to say, gosh, where was it? He was a Belgian, or is a Belgian, sorry. and for what happened was he was in that state, which what they would call a vegetable, right? You know, vegetative state for 23 years following a car accident, and recently awakened and explained that he had been conscious the entire time. You know, he knew, you know, that's why we need to take care of our loved ones and speak to them in a loving way always, you know, hold their hand, you know, every time you go in there. And, it, you know, people need that, whether they can respond or not. So, you know, Susan, thank you for doing this. Now, how do folks get more information? Did you give us the date and time and all that?
And I'll go through that for you, Margie. Thank you. The workshop, the end-of-life workshop presented by Bill Beckman of Illinois Right to Life Committee will be at St. Edmund Parish, which is located at 188 South Oak Park Avenue, next Thursday, September 15th at 7 p.m. And if anyone wants information, they can call the parish office at 708-848-4417, and they can leave a message for me, and the parish receptionist will definitely get in touch with me right away.
Wonderful. And then we'll try to put that on our website this afternoon, as soon as possible, actually, at respectlifechicago.org, so that you folks, our listeners, can find out more information, because this is important to get yourself educated and how to protect yourself and your loved ones. Again, you don't have to be an elderly person to need this information. We all do. And we all need to make sure that we have people that can take care of our health care when we can't. And, you know, who can answer questions and make decisions when we can't, and to fight for our lives, you know, so we're not starved to death, right? You know, or you know, having just ordinary care taken away from us. So is there anything else you want to share about this before we let you go?
No, I just would add that, yes, we are hoping that people at all ages will come, not only our senior citizens and those who might be at risk with a debilitating disease, but also caregivers and people who are responsible for family members. What I learned recently is that if you do not have a document like this that's been completed, if you are in an emergency situation and this document's not available, decisions are then made by the ethics committee at the emergency facility. So it's really important to have this document completed and properly, so that you have somebody that you've designated, somebody whom you trust, to make decisions for you. So it's really an important issue, and we hope everybody in the area will join us next week.
Well, thanks, Susan. Thanks for putting that together, and good luck on that, and God bless your efforts. So at this point, we're going to head to a quick break, and when we get back, I want to discuss a little bit about the Cardinal's latest book called God in Action. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Join Team Catholic Charities for the 2011 AIDS Run Walk in Grant Park on Saturday, October 1st as an active participant or sponsoring member. 100% of the funds raised by the team are returned to Catholic Charities HIV/AIDS case management programs, food pantry, and ministry in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call the Catholic Charities Office of Volunteer Relations at 312-655-7322. Together, we can make a difference.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansco-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office, and I'm joined in the studio by Victor Vallejo, my program manager, and Devin Jones, who filled in for me, actually, who's going to be a guest, hosts the show for the Office for Black Catholics, right? You are the main host now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you do a lot of other things that I don't have time to go over.
Yes, yeah.
And you are an ardent pro-lifer, so I totally respect that. So that's awesome. anyone that does half of what you do, you know, in terms of advocating for life, you've got me.
Thank you.
I'm a supporter.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And before we get into our discussion on the Cardinals book, I'd like to just plug an upcoming event this Sunday on September 11th at 12:15 p.m. at St. Beatrice in Schiller Park. We are having our special pro-life mass with Cardinal George, and this is our annual celebration of life mass, where all Parish Respect Life coordinators and committee members get commissioned by Cardinal George for a year of pro-life parish ministry. Yes, I do know that it is on the 10th anniversary of the tragic loss or, attack, the terrorist attack of 9/11. But you know what? We are really taking time to celebrate their lives, and to celebrate the sanctity of all human life. You know, those terrorists who took those lives, they were not respecting life. Mm-hmm. So, and we need to forgive. It's really hard. And all those readings and preparing for the liturgy, at least filling out the forms and looking at the readings of the day for Sunday. It's all about forgiveness.
Right.
So it is appropriate in terms of, respect life. As coordinators, as pro-lifers, there's a lot that we need to forgive in the world. And, abortionists, women who have abortions, men who take their, men who take their wives or girlfriends for abortions, all those people who are involved in it, people who mistakenly advocate for it out of compassion or a false compassion, we have to forgive. I mean, it is so hard, but we do have to forgive them, because holding on to that hatred, it can turn into violence, in our hearts.
Right.
And most of us pro-lifers, I'd say 99.9999% of the people are peaceful out there doing the work. And there's just a few bad apples that you hear about, from time to time on the news. They get all the play. We don't, in terms of the peaceful, prayerful work that our ministries offer. But also, in Respect Life and in the ministry of the Respect Life office, we have this wonderful ministry called Project Rachel, which is hope after abortion, hope and healing, giving, leading women and men to forgiveness, to reconciliation with God and with the body of Christ, in terms of the church. Mm-hmm. So that bringing them back into full communion, that they can be, they can flourish, and it is a wonderful thing to lead people to God's forgiveness.
Yes.
So there's another point of forgiveness. So we pray also that this tragedy, this type of tragedy, will never happen again. Join us this Sunday, 12:15 at St. Beatrice in Schiller Park. All are welcome. There's a large parking lot. There's going to be an informal reception afterwards, so you can definitely talk to the Cardinal if you have any ideas for him. if you just want to say hello and greet him. On to the Cardinal. Victor and I have been, Victor, you read his latest book, right?
Oh, yeah,
God in Action. Yeah. It's a wonderful book, and it really has so much to do with the culture of life in it, right? I mean, the sanctity of life, whether he's talking about the immigrant, the migrant worker, economic systems. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all is talking about the sanctity of the person, human life, and protecting our human dignity. So, really, I've got to give him thanks for putting this book together. Now, the first couple chapters are really heavy. So, if you understand philosophy, if you love philosophy, you are going to love the first couple chapters. But I don't know, Devin, were you kind of, maybe you don't want to comment
on philosophy? No.
No, but it is, it's
heavy, yeah.
It's heavy, but it is necessary because, the whole thing about freedom and truth and, all of that is so integral to our faith and in our, being human. In terms of understanding our faith and understanding what it means to be a good citizen, mm-hmm. too, we have to link the two. So, they say the truth shall set you free,
right?
Right.
Yep, right.
So, it's important that we know this and that we really promote it. But There's one of the, I think it's chapter 4 in his book. I think it starts from 100, page 100 through 102. It's just, you know, 3 pages of, you know, if you're to read anything in his book, read those 3 mm-hmm. pages and you will get a lot out of this book. And that's where he, the cardinal, talks about, he analyzes Pope John Paul, or Blessed John Paul II's Evangelium Vitae. That's his encyclical from 1995. It's the Gospel of Life in English. But actually, we're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we'll get into these the steps that are laid out here in the Gospel of Life encyclical. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
September is National Hunger Action Month, and Catholic Charities needs you to join the fight to end hunger in our communities. Organize a food drive in your neighborhood, donate to one of Catholic Charities' many food and nutrition programs, or sponsor one of our food pantries. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/hunger or call us at 312-655-7315 to find out how you can be a hunger hero. Join the fight to end hunger today.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Are you ready for the upcoming changes in the words of the Mass? The revision of the Roman Missal brings innovations that will affect us all. Whether you are a teacher, catechist, priest, or parishioner, excellent resources are available to help you understand these changes in the words of the liturgy. For more information about how you can prepare yourself and your assembly, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit www.revisedromanmissal.org.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office, and I'm here joined with Victor Vallejo and Devin Jones, and we're about to get into the Cardinal's latest book, God in Action, and how in Chapter 4 he lays out these 5 steps. Actually, it's Pope John Paul, or Blessed John Paul's 5 steps to building a culture of life, and he included that in his 1995 encyclical called Evangelium Vitae, or in English, like I said earlier, the Gospel of Life. And the first step is to form consciences to recognize the sanctity of human life and that there is an essential connection to human freedom. Mm-hmm. So always, you know, I mean, you know, I'm looking at this. Actually, let's go back a step here. This really is a blueprint. I mean, it is very deep when you look at it, right. And it's going to take some unpacking.
Right.
And, you know, Victor knows this. We've discussed this at all 6 of our regional trainings for gearing up for Respect Life Month in the parish. And all, you know, we had a number of people who came out at those different locations,
right.
And they were really touched by this part, I believe, you know.
That's right, yes.
You know, in terms, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, we were really deeply in the book, and we explain and let them know that we are going to prepare also some questions. Maybe you're going to touch on that.
Yeah, in terms of really this book, I don't think it needs to be from the pro-life group at the parish, but I think you can do, every parish should do like a study group or something, yeah. or just yeah. a discussion, you right. know, just discuss it even one night, mm-hmm. you know, maybe on a Sunday afternoon or something, but have everybody read the book. You know, sign up to read the book,
right.
And then be prepared to come and just talk about it. What does it mean to you? What does it speak to you? How does it speak to you? That kind of thing.
Right.
And so that Victor and I are going to, and some other folks are going to prepare some questions for discussion.
That's right.
And at least that can elicit a discussion on the sanctity of life as well. So if they want to do it from that angle, but they can really, I mean, a parish should be doing this.
Right.
And inviting, you know, it doesn't matter who comes. It could be people from the Peace and Justice Committee, from the choir, from, you know, right. the St. Vincent de Paul group, but the lectors, you know, people who are involved in the parish or not, but just to come and learn and discuss the issues of life. But that God is in action in our lives and in our culture. And, you know, how do we tap into his presence?
Right.
So, again, the first step is to link those to, you know, human life and freedom and protecting human life. You know, we're not here just to kind of plug through or plod right. through daily,
right.
And just be machines, you right. know. We're human beings, you know, made in the image and likeness of God. Now, the second step to creating a culture of life, here we go, is the second step is education on human, I'm skipping a step here. The second step to creating a culture of life, one has to recover the necessary link between human freedom and truth. So here we go. Here's, I said the truth shall set you free,
right?
And, I mean, it sounds very simple, but it is true. And the whose truth, though?
Right. Because, you know, especially in this day and age, everyone feels like what's true for me might not be true for you, and my truth is my truth, and your truth is your truth, and almost like an I'm okay, you're okay type of, do you remember that?
Yeah.
From way back? Maybe not, because we probably weren't alive in the 70s. I don't know, but
I was.
but, you know, just the people, it's very strange, our culture now. It's very hard. The first step you talked about was connecting the conscience and everything, informing one's conscience and things like that. And it's so hard to do, because if I feel like my truth is what I should rule the world by, I mean, how can anybody else inform me otherwise? You know?
Yeah. And it's a way to relativism.
Exactly. It's a way to keep other people out and keep really the truth out. The devil has done a great job at masking himself.
Yeah, well, he's all over the place. He's in the TV shows, and he's in the music,
right.
and products that children yes. want to buy. And, you know, we were at the mall in Durham, North Carolina, and walking around, and there's this children's store that has, in the back of it, has this big flat screen TV mm-hmm. and a little bench for the kids. And then they're showing a cartoon, and I don't know what cartoon it was, but my niece was sitting there watching it. She was just so enthralled, and mm-hmm. she was so excited. She's like, TV! And, you know, pointing at it, I'm like, yes, it's a TV, you know? And she was so excited. And so after the cartoon, then the ad comes on for the store that we were in.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
yeah.
it's all about mommy, you know, you want to buy me this
right.
clothes. And she's only 2.5,
right.
you know,
right.
that kind of thing. So just the culture is just so full of messages that are unnecessary
right.
and really aren't relevant to us as our needs as human beings
right.
and filling us up. It's really an emptiness
right.
that is, you know, we can't be filled up with it, only with God. And we'll get a little bit into that in the fifth step, I think, is the fifth step out of all these is the best. The third step is that education on human sexuality is necessary for creating a culture of life. And, you know, back when we started the Chastity Education Initiative in the Respect Life office, when Mary Louise and Cardinal George put those wheels in motion to get this into the parishes. I mean, we're still, you know, we're not fully there yet mm-hmm. in terms of getting good chastity education into the schools, the parishes, religious education programs, all that. But we're getting there. And, you know, the main thing is that the high schools and the middle schools teach theology of the body for teens, mm-hmm. if, you know, if at all possible, because the message is so important. And, you know, John, you know, Pope John Paul too, he really was on the mark. You know, he knew what he what we needed. You know, I don't know if you could say he is a prophet or...
I think the popes are. I mean, they're guided by the Holy Spirit.
I mean, and that shows it. I mean, he wasn't even pope at the time when he put all that together. I heard somewhere, and I don't know if it was Bishop Olmsted that told us this at a conference we were at recently, but he said something about when Karol Wojtyła was elected pope, he told the folks in the Vatican that he had a book he wanted to publish, you know, and it was... it was basically the theology of the body, but they said, oh, no, popes don't publish books, you know. I don't have an Italian accent, so I can't do it, but that popes don't publish books, but now they do. He blazed a trail, and so you see that they are publishing books, but it was so amazing. So he decided, I guess, to do these messages, mm-hmm. Wednesday audiences, and that was the way to teach it. That was the vehicle to get the truth out about human sexuality. So it's amazing. So actually, we're going to head to a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the other steps in building a culture of life. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office. And we spoke about the third step to building a culture of life from Pope John Paul II and the Gospel of Life encyclical from 1995. And it's definitely a good read. It's a long encyclical, but it's filled with a lot of good information. The Gospel of Life, so you're talking conception to natural death and, you know, everything in between. So we were talking about chastity education, basically, and that is so important. That's an important part of building a culture of life. When we respect each other and our, you know, a person's sexuality, we don't use each other in a way that is against their dignity,
right?
And as an object, in a more utilitarian way, so that we have to look at it through a Catholic lens,
right? That I think that's authentic. Human sexuality teaching,
you know,
as opposed to what is normally taught, which is that we're tools for someone else's.
And this is better than abstinence, because abstinence itself is a no. It's all about no. And, you know, we're about teaching yes.
Right.
Yes to God. Yes to the truth about human sexuality and the dignity of the person. So it's really, I think it's ingenious. And Mary Louise and Cardinal George were right on when they brought the Chastity Education Initiative to the Archdiocese. And then the fourth step is adopting a new lifestyle that promotes the primacy of being over having and persons over things. And Cardinal George points out, and I think this is more him, I'm not sure if he's quoting from the Pope on this, but that we could find allies in this among the people in basically in the Green Movement and environmental wow. movement. So, think about it. People who are who care about the world that and who care about God's creation, the earth, and being good stewards of creation, and that, who want to eat healthy, who want to, don't want to eat foods with fruits and vegetables with pesticides on it, no genetically modified foods. That's me. And I can see the connection because I would never, ever want to put artificial, hormonal birth control in my system
right.
because it will do bad things to me. And I know this to be true. And if we get the word out that this, what the birth control pill and abortion does to a woman's body, then maybe that truth will win out
right.
through those who care about, who might be vegan, vegetarians, who might be into the Green Movement. There was an NFP article in Vegetarian Times, I don't know how many years ago that was, but Father Jim Hyde, who works with us in the office, he's the Cardinal's delegate to the pro-life movement, he gave me this article, gosh, it might be 8 years ago when he gave it to me, but it was about how people who are vegetarians should really be embracing NFP, natural wow. family planning, over birth control, because it is natural.
Right.
And they weren't looking at it from, okay, this is only for married folks.
Right.
They were looking at it as in terms of, I don't want to put that stuff in my body. And this is the most natural way for a couple to come together in that right. way. So
it gets into the waterways and everything too.
Yeah.
Once it leaves your body. So.
Yeah, definitely. It is. It basically. I mean, even countries like France, in different countries in Europe, understand this.
Right.
And they're very critical of hormonal birth control.
Right.
It's just the U.S. I think maybe we're so ruled by pharmaceutical companies. I don't know, but. We've got to do something about it. And I think he was right on in saying we should link up with these folks mm-hmm. because I think we can be really effective. Now, the fifth step is, I think, the best in all of the steps. And I don't know, Victor, he's nodding his head yes. but it's that Catholics have to foster a contemplative outlook. Our true ally in this is God himself. Pope Paul VI preached a homily for the Feast of the Holy Family in 1964, and in it, it's quoted, "We learn from silence, if only once again we could appreciate its great value. We need this wonderful state of mind, beset as we are by the cacophony of strident protests and conflicting claims so characteristic of these turbulent times. The silence of Nazareth should teach us how to meditate in peace and quiet, and to reflect on the deeply spiritual, and to be open to the voice of God's inner wisdom and the counsel of his true teachers. Nazareth can teach us the value of study and preparation, of meditation, of a well-ordered spiritual life, and of silent prayer that is known only to God, and the God who acts for the good of his human creatures, a God who wants to know and love him. We have the final guarantor of our freedom." So we can end in silence. It's a good note to end on.
Yes.
In the end, we have victory. I mean, really, when you think right. about it, God sent his only son to be among us, walk
right.
among us,
right.
and to suffer and die on a cross right. so violently,
right.
and to conquer sin and death.
Right.
He rose for us, on the third day, conquered sin and death. We have victory.
Right.
Oh, victory over the grave, okay?
Right.
Lift high the cross. We can sing that song. That'll be our recessional here
yes.
as we end this show. But basically, I think that's the way to go. And it's really to say God is the final. I mean, he is our ally.
Yes.
And to really focus on having a contemplative prayer life, too. And that's going to keep us grounded. So just keep that in mind. Try to focus on that having a space where you can be in your own Nazareth,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you can train yourself to live that way. Well, we are out of time for the September edition of Life Talk, so tune in on the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 10 a.m. for a lively discussion of issues that make a difference in your life. For Victor Vallejo and Devin Jones, this is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen. Have a safe and happy month, and God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.